The Byrds were the first American band to seriously challenge the British invasion, and they succeeded in part because by the time their music reached the public's ears, they had rehearsed until they were tight and professional. Recordings of these rehearsals have circulated for years under the title Pre-Flight. These sessions are collected on a double CD on Sundazed Records. It inspired our rock historian, Ed Ward, to explore the prehistory of the band.
It all started at the Troubadour, which was L.A.'s top folk club in 1964. Jim Dixon, a producer at World Pacific Records, heard a folk singer, David Crosby, and liked what he heard. He asked him to stop by their studios to cut a demo, maybe so they could build a group around him. The singer agreed, as long as Dixon didn't tell the other folkies. Interestingly, the two had someone in common, Dino Valenti, or Chet Powers, a mysterious Bay Area songwriter. Crosby had stayed with Valenti on a recent trip north, and Dixon's music publishing company published his songs. Naturally, one became part of the demo.
Love is but a song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Know the dove is not know why.
Meanwhile, Jim McGuinn, a Chicago folkie with some showbiz experience, had been facing hostile audiences as he stood up and sang I Want to Hold Your Hand with an acoustic 12-string guitar. Once again in the Troubadour, McGuinn met Gene Clark, a songwriter on the run from various surf bands, and one day as they were working out some songs there, David Crosby sat down and joined them. McGuinn had run across Crosby before and wasn't sure he wanted him horning in on what seemed to be a good thing when Crosby spoke the magic words. Hey guys, I know a guy who has a studio we can use for free. Calling themselves the Jet Set, they went into the studio with Dixon and cut two tracks which Elektra Records put out on a single, labeled as being by the Beefeaters.
Every time I see you smile, come to me, don't be loud. Let me tell you how my heart goes wild. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Every time I...
The single, with studio musicians playing on it, died, but it showed promise. Brian Wilson encouraged the group and said they'd almost made it. Dixon recruited Chris Hillman, a bluegrass player he'd worked with, to play bass, and then came Michael Clark on drums. To get a feeling for playing together, they did some acoustic sessions, recording some originals, and because Dixon felt that someone else's great song was better than your own mediocre one, a Bob Dylan song. They tried that one electric, too.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me in the jingle jangle morning. I'll come follow you.
After which, they gave up for the moment. They'd get it right later. That electric version of Mr. Tambourine Man, though, featured McGuinn's new toy, a 12-string Rickenbacker electric guitar. It was a challenge for the former folkie, and he rose to it. Armed with it, he began writing songs with Gene Clark, and they sounded good. Clark was a songwriting machine, churning out a half dozen songs a week, showing them to Hillman and Michael Clark, then bringing them to the studio at night so they could bounce them off of McGuinn and Crosby, and Dixon, who was very interested in building up his publishing company. He also told all of his friends about the group he was working with, giving photographer Barry Feinstein run of the sessions and bringing Lenny Bruce and Bob Dylan to the studio. Dylan heard the band nervously perform electric versions of some of his songs and gave his blessing. The buzz paid off. In November 1964, the Byrds, as they christened themselves over a Thanksgiving dinner, were signed by Columbia Records, thanks in part to enthusiasm from Miles Davis, of all people, and they never looked back. Soon, Sunset Strip and the world would be theirs.
Ed Ward is a writer living in Berlin.